Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Welcome into another episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so incredibly much for being here today. In just a moment, we're going to be going over our rookie report, where all these rookies stand a couple weeks into training camp and, of course, 1 week into preseason. Excited to break down all the rookies and what we've seen from them so far up until this point. Of course, joint practices coming up later today with the Indianapolis Colts. Really excited about that. We'll talk about it as well. First of all, shout out to our members and our subscribers. If you haven't checked out Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube memberships yet, now's a great day to do so. Also, just hit that subscribe button, right? Whether you're on the audio channel or on YouTube. While you're there, if you're on YouTube, make sure to get the notification every time there's a new episode that comes out. And if you're a subscriber, get those automatic downloads as well. Appreciate you guys for that. Also, shout out to Luigi's Pizza, our sponsor for today's show. I always wondered, like, what was it that made Luigi's Pizza so magical and delicious? And then I had the ability to tour their facility, and I saw all the real fresh ingredients that they're putting in to every single pizza that they make. And the people are amazing that work there, first of all. The ingredients are incredible, and you get the output of an incredible pizza. The two that really stand out to me, the cheese and the sauce, both to die for. I would choose that sauce and that cheese on any pizza for the rest of my life. That's what I really believe sets it apart. If you haven't tried it yet, what are you waiting for? Luigi'sPizza.com, Luigi'sPizza. Follow them. The same handle on social media as well. All right, joint practices coming up, Packers, Colts. What I'm really looking for here, first and foremost, is can we get any good sort of like injury news? Hopefully Romeo Doubs, Luke Musgrave, LVN, some of these players, Savion Williams, that maybe dropped out in the last practice at some point, are good to go in practicing. That would be nice. Can a couple other players maybe come back? No new injuries and no injuries throughout the course of practice. That would really be something that would be a positive coming out of this one. And then the second thing is, can we just get those vibes going in the right direction? And I'm not a huge vibe guy. Listen, I was all in on the vibes when it came to the NFC Championship game when Brett Favre threw an interception to Corey Webster. That team had all the vibes in the world. They were playing at Lambeau. They were supposed to have to go to Dallas, but New York upsets them. New York has to come to Green Bay, and it doesn't work out. There have been other games where I went into being like, oh my God, they're going to lose this game by 40, and they win. So I don't really care ultimately about vibes, but right now it just feels like there's a little bit of a eh. And what I mean by that is there's been all these injuries. Jordan Love's got the thumb surgery. And then the last preseason game they played, they completely stunk up the building, even though there were some positive performances that came out of that. Can we just start getting some of this going in the right direction from an injury standpoint and maybe just starting to take it to some other teams? Hopefully Green Bay can have a great joint practice. And it's the Packers players that are standing out and not the Indianapolis Colts players. So let's hopefully look forward to that as we get to tomorrow's show, break down everything that happened at training camp in Indianapolis. And hopefully we've got a ton of positive things to discuss tomorrow. Of course, we'll cover it all for you right here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast. With that, I want to dive right into our Packers rookie training camp report. And we're going to go through rookie by rookie, the drafted rookies, and then I'll kind of do a just a roundup of the UDFAs at the end as well. But where each of the rookies stand, what we've seen so far, and then kind of what they still need to work at, or in other cases, what injuries they're sort of dealing with. Let's start with number one, Matthew Golden. Let's start with the positive. I was going to be like, well, let's get the negatives out of the way, but let's start with the positives because it's worth it. Number one, he is everything that you could have possibly expected up until this point. Everything. Go and read the draft scouting profiles for Matthew Golden. And go back and watch here on the Pack-A-Day Podcast, or listen to it and go back and listen to my scouting report after they drafted him. And I had the opportunity to deep dive it. It's exactly what we talked about. High-end speed. And by the way, when we heard right after of like, oh, it doesn't play up to his speed, I have it in my notes. When I first watched him at Texas, one of my very first notes before I read anybody else, oh, it doesn't quite play up to that 4.240 speed. and you want, you go and read every scouting report and it says that, and you know what? They watch Texas, just like I did. You can only watch so many games going into the draft for each player. I watched probably four or five games, maybe somewhere probably between three and five games on Matthew Golden, all at Texas. And I would agree, at times it doesn't really look like it plays up to the 4.2 speed. Still really fast, don't get me wrong. Go back and watch the Houston tape. And when I did the deep dive, I had the opportunity to do that. The Houston tape is 4.240 fast. And so far at practice, he looks 4.240 fast. I mean, like, he looks insanely quick. Love the way that he goes about his business. Love the way that he runs his routes. There is a smoothness, but also a suddenness. And those are two things that if you combine them, look the heck out. He has unbelievable hands. And I mean unbelievable hands. I've also seen him go up and get the ball. Despite him being smaller in stature and not the biggest guy in the world, he can go up, high point it, use those physical hands at the point of attack, even wrestle some balls away. And the better thing is I've seen him win at all layers of the field, short, intermediate, and deep, some stuff even behind the line of scrimmage. They're lining him up everywhere. And he's got run after the catch ability. The one big play that really stood out was the play that I think it was Gregory Jr. In the, you know, underneath where completely juked him and then came back inside, completely juked out Tyron Hopper and then got up the field for a big gain after that and then used that 4.240 speed. The quickness and suddenness in and out of his breaks is what really is impressive. And then as he's running his routes, really selling everything as he's going through them, that to me, it just add all of that together. As a rookie, it is not a mistake. I really don't think so. That in that preseason game, when it's, you know, a go-to situation, a third down situation, Jordan's looking to Matthew Golden already in both of those situations. One of them picking up the first down on a slant. The other one drawing a pass interference penalty on Sauce Gardner, by the way. That is a very encouraging sign in and of himself or itself. Sauce Gardner and some of the Jets players were very complimentary of Matthew Golden as well. This is trending in a very, very positive direction. And you can tell Green Bay is wanting to get him on the field. And the teammates, when you hear them talk about Matthew Golden, it is glowing. It is like the sky's the limit. His best football is still ahead of him. He already looks great. Like, it just player after player after player lining up to give praise and kudos to what Matthew Golden's done so far. Job not done, though. There's still some things that he really needs to work on. Number one is just learning the entirety of the offense. They're putting a lot on his plate. No two ways around it. They're definitely putting a lot out there for him to have to figure out at all of the positions that he can potentially play, you know, slot, outside wide receiver, XYZ, like he's everywhere. They even inserted him as sort of like that, like kind of H-back role that we've seen like Alan Lazard do. He's no Alan Lazard. It probably was just a fun look in a preseason game, but maybe not. This is just a situation where I think they want Matthew Golden out on the field a ton, and they don't even care at this point. Just get him out there and make sure that one of your best, most talented weapons is on the field at pretty much all times. And we'll see how this all parses out once you get Wicks and Reed and Dobbs and Golden and Savion Williams and Christian Watson, not to mention Musgrave, Kraft, Josh Jacobs, and all those guys are hopefully healthy. Hopefully we actually get that at some point. But when that happens, we'll kind of see how they utilize these weapons a little bit more. But at the forefront, it very much seems that they plan on using him a ton. And with that, though, comes responsibility. He is used in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different packages, personnel groupings, and he's got to go out there and memorize everything. Not only that, not only the route concepts and the route depth and where to break off his routes, but also the checks, the audibles, the signals, and everything that he needs to do off, or, you know, ad lib when Jordan gets off platform. There's a lot that goes into this. It's a very difficult position to learn in Matt LaFleur's offense. And I think if anything, I'm buoyed and excited by the fact that here's a player that is still just scratching the surface of understanding the entirety of the offense. It is nowhere near come close to slowing down for him. And he still looks really good. That is a very encouraging sign, because once everything does come natural to him, meaning like he understands all the checks, the audibles, the entirety of the offense, I can only imagine how much more those raw natural traits are just going to come out and really be at the forefront and show you exactly what he is capable of. The other thing is he is a little bit small in stature. Press at the line of scrimmage. His release game is going to have to continue to improve, because there are going to be more and more corners that want to get him jammed at the line of scrimmage to get him off of his rhythm. there was the play earlier in camp where it went off of his fingertips. We talked about this the other day, but it was a high throw, went off of his fingertips, but at the line, he gets jammed. I don't think he quite got the depth that he wanted. I think the timing was a little bit off. Jordan throws high. He had to kind of get over the defense. And then Golden goes up to get it. It hits off the fingertips and results in an interception. That jam at the line of scrimmage that really kind of threw him off of everything, a better release and a little bit more nuance with that. He avoids the jam, is able to probably get a little bit more depth on that. And Jordan and him probably connect for a big play, and it's not an interception. So those are the two things. Just continue to learn the offense and master the offense and know what you're doing at all times so that the game starts to slow down for you. And then also just making sure that, again, not only you have that great attention to detail, but you're getting off of press coverage against more physical players as well. Those are the things that he needs to continue to improve upon. But this is trending, like I said, in a very positive direction. He's going to make an impact right away. And I'm really excited to see what he can do, not only in preseason coming up here, but as we get ready for the actual start of the regular season. Number two, Anthony Belton. Here's the thing about Belton. I know a lot of people are pushing for guard. And maybe at some point, maybe even this year, he ends up at guard at some point. Maybe he stays at tackle. I don't particularly care at the moment. What I do like is that they're picking something and sticking to it for the time being. Green Bay is the ultimate, hey, you could be anywhere at any time at any moment, and we're going to cross-train you everywhere. And I think that's not, I think in general, that has helped them a ton. Sometimes you have to take it slow and let them get their feet underneath them, especially as rookies, before you start doing some of that. I think Jordan Morgan was a great example of that a season ago. With Jordan, they put him at left tackle, left guard, right tackle in like OTAs and mini camps right away, just threw the kitchen sink at him. I think it was difficult for him. I think it really took some time to kind of figure out how to take in all of that all at the same time. And with Belton, I think they kind of learned their mistake a little bit with Morgan. And with Belton, they said, you know what? Left tackle, right tackle. We're going to keep him there. Now, if injuries would hit this year and they would need him at guard, they would put him in. I don't think it would be a major issue for him. And I think there is a chance that he ultimately ends up at guard. But the old adage and rule of thumb is let them fail at tackle first before you move them inside to guard. Not sure I always agree with that adage, but I think if you want to start him at tackle and see if he can play there first, no issue with that. As far as on the field goals with Anthony Belton, he is a rare human being. He's got unbelievable size, great length, and unbelievable power. And he for his size, the footwork, while maybe not completely ideal for the position, is not bad when you consider and factor in his size with everything. And we actually saw some mauling this past week in preseason. Like, he's throwing people around. He's getting some pancakes. That's different. We're not exactly used to that on the Packers offensive line. So him having the ability to do that is understandable why they liked him so much in the second round. Now, here's where I'm at with Belton. I don't think he's quite ready yet. I think his technique, both with his footwork and with his hand placement, needs work. It's not there. I appreciate how talented he is as a human and just his raw traits. And of course, he works at it as well. But that he can go out and compete probably any given week. It's not the worst number seven player to have on your offensive line. And if it gets to that point, I feel pretty good that he can go out there and not make a mess of things. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be great. There's going to be some hiccups along the way. But it more of, to me, for Belton, is just a matter of time. He's probably not going to be, I know he's not going to be a full-fledged, completely ready offensive lineman at probably any point this year, but he can hang in the time being because of his special abilities. And then in due time, as the game slows down for him and he learns kind of the tricks of the trade and masters his technique a little bit more, he could be, I think, a very, very good offensive lineman in this league. I liked what I saw in the first preseason game. I've liked what I've seen in the practices. Now it's just, can he master his craft? And that's going to be the real big thing for him. If he can, he's going to be a starter for a long time in Green Bay. If he can't, he's probably sitting as a rotational piece that continues to get chance after chance after chance from different teams because he's such a talented individual. But I really like what I've seen so far, and I do think that Belton is trending in the right direction as well. That brings us to Savion Williams. Savion has been hurt in a variety of different ways. Concussion, coming back from the shoulder injury. This week he was using the massage gun on his leg. Just has been a little bit snake bit early on in his rookie campaign. That being said, you definitely see some plays from him. He's got great size, unbelievable catch radius, great speed to the outside, had a really nice jet sweep or reverse. I didn't see how it eventually set up in the, or initially set up, but he showed great speed down the sideline on that particular play. There are flashes here and there that are really fun and really interesting for Savion Williams. I think he is going to take a couple years to probably really start coming into his own as a wide receiver. Maybe that's even aggressive. Maybe at least like a year, though. I could see next year him taking a pretty significant step in year two. But it would not surprise me, and there's almost a piece of me that expects that we get a couple games this year from Savion Williams where like, oh my God, like he looked unbelievable and super dynamic, and he put up like three catches for 130 yards and two touchdowns or something like that. That would not surprise me at all. Similar to sometimes how Christian Watson would flash in his rookie season. If you told me that there were a couple games that they really needed Savion and he came up with some big performances, wouldn't even be one stunned one iota. I think he has that type of ability. Now the question is, can he master his route running? And can he really stay healthy? That's going to be another one. And just again, understand the nuances of wide receiver a little bit more. There's another one where if you see everyone in the scouting report say, hey, just gadget guy, wildcat, whatever, go back and watch his earlier stuff. Really, really talented and fun wide receiver. If you told me a handful of years from now that Savion Williams is the best player to come out of this draft for Green Bay, would not bat an eye. That's the type of talent that he has. Now, Matthew Golden's well ahead of him at the moment. And, you know, Anthony Belton is a really talented player. We're going to talk about some other ones here in just a second, but he's got that type of ability. Just stay on the field, make the most of the opportunities, and continue to master your craft. And Savion Williams can be a very special player in this league, but he's going to have to crawl before he can walk, and he's going to have to get those nuances down. And there's just going to be a little learning curve for Savion. But when he comes out on the other side with it, that could have the potential to be something really, really special. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already underway and college football is here, so do not miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. An absolute blast winning last year on Prize Picks, and now I'm gearing up for another epic run in 2025. I've already got a couple deep sleepers in mind, and I'm going to be very, very high on Tucker Kraft this upcoming season as well. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports. And there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. All right, let's finish up with our remaining rookies. We're going Baron Sorrell next. I'll be transparent in the fact that Baron Sorrell has been a tough player to kind of keep an eye on in practices. A lot of times he's with the twos and the threes down at the other end when they split the two. And then when he is in there, again, that's just so many things that are going on. And a lot of times he's on that opposite defensive end. So it's been tough to see. So getting to see him at family night in the preseason game has been a little bit eye-opening that there's some real talent there that we knew was there, but that is starting to come to the forefront right now. And I think that's the really exciting part. Now, he made hay against some backup offensive linemen this past week. It's going to be different, but they're going to count on him, I think, relatively early to be a real rotational piece on this defensive end group. You've got LVN, you've got Rashawn Gary. Then a lot is up for grabs. You know, we're going to talk about Colin Oliver in just a moment, but his injuries have really clouded him for this upcoming season. Kingsley Enagbare, Brenton Cox are probably going to be there, but there are a lot of snaps that are up for grabs. And Gary and LVN for defensive ends, they take their breaks as well throughout the course of games. So Baron Sorrell has the world in the palm of his hand that he can go out and make the most of it. He can really, I think, set a name for himself early on with what he can do as a, even whether it's a situational pass rush situation or just as a rotational defender. I think the run defense is going to take a little bit longer to kind of get down for him, But if you can get him in there in some real pass rush situations, like if you told me he had like 6 to 8 sacks this year, that's aggressive. Don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't be stunned by it either. And just seeing some of the moveset that he has in this last preseason game, that to me is what shows me he has the potential to really come out and compete sooner rather than later. I think he's going to be a better version of what we saw Kingsley and Igbari as a rookie. Like Igbari as a rookie was a fun player and showed some things, but wasn't quite complete yet. I think we're going to see the same thing for Baron Sorrell, but at a higher level, which is more than capable of being a rotational edge defender. And then what he really needs to work on is run defense. I need to see him anchor and set the edge better than what he did in family night and in preseason this past week. If he can do that, now you're talking about going from maybe more situational pass rush opportunities to being able to be on the field a little bit more. The more you can get on the field, the more opportunity you have to make an impact. And he has that type of impactful ability. He just has to get out there. The way he does that is by playing better run defense. So that'll be the next step for Baron Sorrell. Colin Oliver, extremely frustrating from a fan standpoint that he has not been able to get out there at all yet. Is working to the side with a trainer. Hamstring injury is what it is. He's on the PUP list. And I think with Colin Oliver, we talked about this with Justice the other day. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to really decide, all right, do you want to, you know, try to get him off before the, you know, the training camp and preseason is over? Or would you prefer to keep him on that PUP list so that you can keep him on PUP once the season starts and you don't have to use that roster spot? Because as soon as you take him off PUP, you cannot put him back on. Now, you could put him on IR designated to return if you want to, but if that's the sort of situation, you're probably just better off making it so that he stays on the PUP and, you know, don't give him practice time. Now, if he's ready to go next week, like having him sit out 2 more weeks plus 4 weeks beyond that is a little bit tough, right? So if he's healthy and good to go, you're going to take the PUP designation off of him and let him practice. But right now, if he wants to make any impact or even just not start the season on PUP, he needs to get out there sooner rather than later. Other than rookie minicamp, which was, again, just basically an orientation, we have not seen any of Colin Oliver so far, and we have nothing to go off of other than his college tape at this point in time. Warren Brinson. I told you guys at the time when I went back and watched Warren Brinson's tape that I really, really liked Brinson's tape. I didn't think I was going to, especially like first glimpses, but the more you watched him, the more you realize that he's got more than meets the eye and there's some real nuance to his game. And as a run stuffer, he has the ability to hold up at the point of attack, but he's also got a little bit of juice to get into the backfield. I thought there were some real signs in this preseason game that he can help even this year. He's still got a battle on his hands. You know, Colby Wooden, I would say less of Carl Brooks, but Wooden, Brinson, Stackhouse, those three might be fighting for 2 spots. I think Brinson and Wooden are the leaders in the clubhouse for that right now. And I would not move on from Brinson. I think there's too much talent there. I would not try to subject that to waivers. In a normal draft where the defensive tackle depth chart wasn't as deep, or just rookie class was not as deep, I think he probably goes closer to 4th or at worst 5th round. And they got him in the 6th. And I do think that right now, I don't think he's quite as at the level that Wooden is, and Wooden's now in year 3, but I do think he's ahead of Stackhouse at the moment. And if he can kind of even get better in game 2 than where he was in game 1, where I saw him have a pretty solid game in preseason, I think that's going to be a real step for him and probably start to solidify that number 5 defensive tackle spot for him. Next up is Micah Robinson. This is a really tough one. I'll be honest. There have been plays where Robinson gets beat, but he's a corner. That's going to happen. I've seen him get dusted downfield a couple times, but I've also seen him hang with some good wide receivers and make some plays on the ball. He got 30-some snaps in this game, and most of them were just like unnoticeable. He didn't really make any mistakes. He was where he was supposed to be, and that's kind of all you can ask of your rookie 7th-round corner. I would love to see him take a little bit more of a step. As we have talked about, that corner room is wide open. After the top three, you've got Kamal Haddon, Bo Melton, you know, Micah Robinson, Kalen King. Those are probably your leaders in the clubhouse, but there's a ton of competition there. And Micah Robinson has every right to go and earn one of those spots, but he's going to have to have a strong last couple weeks. I think right now he might be on the outside looking in, although I do think it is very, very close. I would put it as about a 50-50 coin flip right now, maybe like a 60-40 off the team for him, but he's very much in that conversation. A good couple weeks here, and he could legitimately make the 53. And I do think there is some real, true, legitimate upside with Micah Robinson as well. he just needs to be a bit more consistent. I think his ability to not hand fight, but just be a little bit more nuanced at the top of the route, a little jersey tug at the bottom, just little things that give you little advantages that aren't going to get called, just a little bit more veteran mentality. If you can add a couple of those things to his game, I think he's going to be just fine. Right now, you can tell he's, again, just a rookie going through it and trying to figure out how to master his craft in a very short period of time here in the NFL so far. And then the last one is John Williams, who we heard from Goody is not going to be ready anytime soon. At least that's the one that's going to linger on. And it sounds like it's going to still be a while for him. It's a bummer. He had a lot of talent, high relative athletic score, and he was somebody that I thought Green Bay got a steal on, but it does not just seem like he's anywhere near ready at the moment. And that's going to possibly cost him the entirety of his rookie season. He's not going to get activated anytime in the near future. So this just is what it is with John Williams, and probably going to have to sort of reevaluate him come 2026. Those are your rookies, and that's where every one of them are at right now. I think the class is pretty much trending solid. I mean, Golden looks like he's going to be the real impactful one. Belton and Williams look like they are really tantalizing depth pieces that have some really high-end upside. Baron Sorrell, rotational edge defender. Oliver's hurt. Brinson's probably like the fifth defensive tackle. Micah Robinson fighting for a roster spot. And John Williams also injured and will probably stay on that injured list for the remainder, maybe even of the season, but first part of the season for sure. As far as UDFAs go, they have Isaiah Nayer, Will Shepard, J.J. Lippe, Tyler Cooper, Brant Banks, Taylor Algersma, Amar Johnson, Nazir Stackhouse, Jonathan Baldwin, Jared Bartlett, Jamon Johnson, Tyron Herring, and Garnett Hollins Jr. The majority of those players are trying to fight for practice squad spots. Two players that I think have a real legitimate shot at the 53 to keep that undrafted free agent 53-man streak alive. The two are Nazir Stackhouse and Amar Johnson. Amar probably needs a little bit of help from an injury standpoint. I don't think he can make it ahead of Brooks or Wilson. Wilson's the interesting one. If I talked about this with Justice as well, if they kind of view Amar Johnson as like the Costco brand Emmanuel Wilson, well, he's younger, cheaper, probably maybe even a little bit quicker. And if you just want to go with that and let Wilson go, you might even be able to get Amar Johnson in that situation back in the practice squad. In fact, I would guess that you would. And then you can have only three running backs, plus maybe can get Wilson back in the practice squad. And if not, you still have Amar Johnson in that situation. That'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on. And then Nazir Stackhouse. I think he needs to anchor better, hold up against double teams better, not get kind of washed out of the play. But the talent is there. We've seen him make a lot of plays in training camp. Not going to gauge him just based off of one preseason game. But that one, to me, in seeing actually these snaps next to each other, I would say Brinson and Wooden both ahead of Stackhouse at the moment. And Stackhouse a little bit of work to do if he wants to get a sixth defensive tackle spot on this team or beat out one of the ones that are already on the roster. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me on today's Rookie Report. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members. We've got PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Dylan Pat Scott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkelsinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Craig. I'll see you guys all tomorrow breaking down Packers training camp with the Indianapolis Colts. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.